Chapter 1. Rechi inspected herself in the beveled mirror hanging in the hallway, her husband's parting words ringing in her ears. Go with Mazel. Her eyes searched her reflection. Why didn't she look any different than usual? Wasn't there a marker of some kind that would let people know that she, Rechi Wollner, had entered the world of working women? Rechi straightened her collar and put on her cheerful, matter-of-fact nursing expression. But staring at herself, she saw what she saw yesterday and the day before. The same black mid-calf length skirt, the same New Balance sneakers, the light blue Oxford shirt, her auburn-tinged wig cut 2 inches above her shoulder, her black opaque stockings. Yep, good ol' Rechi. Her gaze fastened on the pin on her blouse. Ah, there it was, the giveaway. The Warm Hands, Kind Hearts home care logo. She touched it gently and felt a thread of excitement tingle with a thread of anxiety. She heard Yitty, her fifth and youngest, crashing around in the kitchen, letting out exasperated noises. Come on, Yit, she called. I have to go. Rechi didn't want to be late. Not today, her first day. She picked up her nurse's bag with its assortment of rolled gauze, 4x4s, tape, stethoscope, and Tegaderm pads, and went into the kitchen. And there Yitty was, crawling on the floor, trying to get her shoe from under the kitchen chair. She grabbed it and gazed up at Rechi.
Mommy, I can't find my other shoe!
Rechi looked at her watch. Come on, Yitty. If one shoe is there, then the other must be close by. Look under the table. Rechi gritted her teeth as she watched Yitty scramble to find her shoe. Focus on the problem at hand and coach Yitty through it, she told herself. She watched as Yitty found the shoe and slipped it on over her twisted navy tights. Rechi thought fleetingly about asking her to straighten her tights, but swiftly rejected the idea. It would take Yitty another 20 minutes at least. Yitty crunched the Velcro fasteners closed, and with a satisfied expression, she stood up, almost tripping over Rechi's nurse's bag.
Is this the day you start fixing people, Mommy?
Rechi bent down and kissed the pale 6-year-old cheek. She loved this age, when band-aids and mommy's kisses answered everything. I hope and pray so, she said with all her heart. The bus honked outside, and she sent Yitty on her way. The breakfast dishes would have to stay on the counter for later. Time to head to the first solo appointment of her life as a visiting nurse. Rechi headed out the front door and jumped into her car. The mid-morning October sun made her squint while she negotiated the traffic along 18th Avenue, past Goldberger's Grocery, past High Pharmacy, Borough Park, on her way to Bay Parkway. Her hands felt clammy on the steering wheel. She still couldn't quite believe what she had accomplished, pushing her way through nursing school, perhaps the hardest thing she'd ever done, and receiving her RN license. And then, the fact that there wasn't a single Hasidic nurse in her community. Except for her, of course. Where did she get the nerve? Or maybe it wasn't nerve, but some force that kept her stuck to her dream. Years ago, when she first confided her wish to be a nurse, her mother took her aside for a heart-to-heart. Rechi, dear, you always wanted to get married young, just like your sisters did, and have a big family. If you still want to become a nurse after you get married, you make that decision together with your husband. Leave me out of it. Rechi had known her mother was right, and yet she couldn't stop dreaming and wondering, or telling people she wanted to be a nurse. Chedva, her cousin who was closest to her in age, wasn't exactly supportive either. Rechi, stop it with these crazy dreams, she'd begged. I just can't picture you as a nurse. It's so... She hadn't completed the thought, but there was no need. Rechi had completed it for her, in her own mind. So weird. Not Adel. Outlandish. The very opposite of what women in their community did. And Chedva, who'd been in her grade in school, knew better than anyone how Rechi tended toward the dreamy side and wasn't exactly the most studious type. And yet Rechi had felt possessed throughout the years. But why? Why couldn't she have shaken the dream? A loud honk yanked her to the present, a tangle of traffic on 20th Avenue. Whoops! Rechi made a quick left at 86th Street to avoid a delay and found a side street. She drove until she came to a main street under the elevated tracks. A rainbow store and a slew of banks flitted by. Then a host of mom-and-pop shops, Lenny's Pizza, a Jacques Lalanne studio, Jean's Ice Cream, Chock Full of Nuts, and the Bouderie. She came to an abrupt stop on Bay Parkway. A bank clock displayed 8:46 in prominent red figures. She was making good time. An old Russian-looking lady pushing a wire shopping cart made her slow way across the busy intersection. A memory jumped into Rechi's mind. The bubby with her onion poultices and cupping glasses. Bankas, they were called. And 100 other remedies, even for serious illnesses like tuberculosis. The healer of Sehet. The bubby had saved lives. In Romania, and even after she had moved to America. Rechi adored her. She loved listening to her stories and didn't even mind the bubby's strange poultices. Most of the time, they worked, even if Rechi and her sisters did end up smelling like sauerkraut. Now the traffic moved along at a nice clip. Overhead, a BMT train passed, and the deep rumble lulled Rechi once again back to old musings. Of course, it was the image of the bubby that had inspired her. Then had come the two hardest years of her life when she was a nursing student. And it wasn't just the schoolwork that was overwhelming. It was the foreignness of the student culture. For one thing, Rechi couldn't understand the constant kvetching from the students, as if nursing exams were all that mattered. The students showed up on exam days like zombies, with mismatched clothing and greasy, uncombed hair. And always the screaming in the hallways after the tests as they compared answers and berated themselves for real and imagined mistakes. What an insane 2 years those were. And these girls weren't even responsible for a large family. Thank God Rechi had the support of her husband, Shimon, and the children, all five of them. And, of course, the Tolosko Rebbe, who had said that if Rechi was drawn to nursing, there was no Shaila, and gave her a bracha. Pizza and fish sticks reigned for 2 years, and then some. The bubby never had to go through nursing school. She had absorbed her wisdom and knowledge from her mother, also a famous healer. Rechi's own mother had broken the chain of healing and decided to choose the straightforward path of being a wife and mother all-consumingly, without dividing herself or being pulled in any other direction. Rechi made a turn at Benson Avenue. Her eyes searched along the two-story houses on Bay 32nd Street for number 69, her first appointment. Each door was a dollhouse duplicate of the other. A few houses sported pilgrim figures dangling from the lampposts or round, plump turkeys. How odd, she thought, and then she laughed, remembering. Thanksgiving was at the end of the month. Not exactly a feature on the average Borough Parker's calendar. She came to a stop outside 69 Bay 32nd Street, a two-story house with peeling horizontal lap siding. Her heart pounded in her throat, her ears. Her hands shook. She turned off the engine and glanced at her watch. 5 minutes early. Should she just go up and ring the bell now? No, she'd use these 5 minutes. She reached into her purse for her pocket to Helim. The words would calm her and orient her better toward the day. After a quick but heartfelt Shir Hamalos, Rechi exited the car and climbed the 3 steps to the house. She hesitated for just a second before she rang the bell. How she had longed for and fought for and trained for this very day. Standing on the front porch of a nondescript house, she felt as though she'd scaled the greatest, highest peak imaginable. Though she still had to wait for a response on the other side of the door. Rechi glanced at her nurse's note. Mrs. Selma Spheres, who required an assessment regarding deterioration in her spine. After an evaluation and authorization for a physical therapist, the woman would probably qualify for a home health aide to help with her daily needs. A simple enough case, but the outcome of Rechi's visit would make a huge difference in the quality of this woman's life. And yet, go figure, there lingered a few doubts about Rechi's choice of career. Good old cousin Chedva, who lived just around the corner with her own growing family, always had some comment to make, even if she was half-joking. Just last week, there was that strange profession of loyalty. I'll stick up for you, Rechi, in case anyone says anything about your, nursing career. Annoyed, Rechi had snapped. Is that what you call support, Chedva? She'd gotten off the phone quickly, claiming a headache. Not entirely a lie, she did have one. The headache of a mixed message. She rang the doorbell again, trying to calm the butterflies flitting around in her stomach. Knew where was Selma Spheres? Hashem, she prayed, help me succeed. It was time, after all. Yitti had just started school full-time. Avrami, her oldest, was just entering the bewildering world of Shidduchim, a world that seemed to require its own passport. She closed her eyes and saw the bubby. But where was this Mrs. Spheres already? She opened her eyes and gazed at the scraggly, overgrown bushes. Once, they would have formed a neat border. The neighborhood had obviously seen better days. Well, what had she expected? A deluxe villa? She was here to help, not give marks on home decor. Finally, after a full minute, she heard a shuffle-shuffle sound nearing the door. Rechi straightened her pin and put on her cheerful, matter-of-fact nursing expression, the one she had practiced in front of the mirror. She waited for the door to open. Nothing. Whoever had made that shuffling noise was just standing there. Or had she imagined the noise? Rechi leaned into the door and tremulously called out, "Visiting nurse from Warm Hands, Kind Hearts." There it was again, the shuffling noise. "Excuse me," she called out more firmly. "My name is Rechi Wolner. I'm from the agency you contacted." More shuffling, but 2 distinct kinds. Shuffle slide, shuffle slide, and then shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. What in the world? Rechi's hand lurched for her cell phone. At the same moment, a craggy, cranky man's voice broke through the peephole.
"I'm sorry, I don't let in strangers."
He emitted a noisy throat-swallowing sound, and then,
"Who are you?"
"Visiting nurse," Rechi said, with as much authority as she could muster. She added, "I just spoke with someone by the name of Selma a half hour ago." Then she repeated the name of her agency.
"Who?"
The voice was high-pitched and querulous.
"I don't know anyone from that company. It's very dangerous to open the door these days, you know."
Rechi suppressed a groan. What was she going to tell DJ, her supervisor? Never mind the assessment, she couldn't even get in the door. Rechi took a deep breath and knocked again. This time she tried some Yiddish.
"Shalom aleichem, ich bin die Schwester."
"Ah,"
came a voice from the other side.
Du bist von unserer.
Pause.
Was willst du?
The door opened reluctantly. Rechi was greeted with a cautious
Aleichem Shulem
from Mr. Spheres. Tall and quite hunched in the small doorway, he was an unshaven elderly man in a rumpled gray flannel shirt. Beside him stood Mrs. Spheres, wearing a faded green dress that reminded Rechi of winter grass. Together, they looked like two Lego towers about to topple. Glancing at the chart in her hand, Rechi was amazed to read that Mrs. Spheres was a centenarian. She hadn't realized. Is there a bracha on seeing a person who is 100 years old? She quickly chased the thought from her mind. It was silly, unprofessional.
Who called you?
Mr. Spheres asked as he and Mrs. Spheres hobbled to the dining room. With a nurse's instinct Rechi had already acquired, she followed 2 steps behind so she could be there to catch them if they fell. When they were settled in the dining room, she said, raising her voice slightly, I'm the nurse. Your doctor arranged for this visit, remember? Her gaze fell over the table, which was surrounded by 4 chairs in varying shades of brown, 2 ladder-backed and 2 upholstered. The elderly couple had chosen to sit on the upholstery-backed ones. Mrs. Spheres, as she had asked to be called, managed to sit, but judging from her grimace, it took great effort. Mr. Spheres had no trouble negotiating the chair with 1 clean bending movement. Rechi sat on one of the ladder-backed chairs. Its legs creaked as she leaned forward. She cleared a corner of the table, pushing shoeboxes full of mail into the middle to make room for her own paperwork.
My wife, Mr. Spheres asked, is she okay? She's not going to the hospital, is she? Are you going to the hospital, Selma? You can't leave me, you hear? What am I going to do here all by myself?
His wide brown eyes looked at his wife with a mixture of trust and fear.
Shah, Pinchas, I'm not going anywhere, Selma said, her Oberlander accent more pronounced than that of her spouse. Let the noise do her job.
Mrs. Spheres wore a black headband on top of her mop of white hair. It reminded Rechi of a black swan resting on a snowbank. Mr. and Mrs. Spheres, Rechi said, I'm not here to take anyone to the hospital. Your family doctor, Dr. Jacoby, would like to get you into our program. You'd like to be eligible for physical therapy, wouldn't you? And social services, and even a home health aide, right? The 2 centenarians stared at each other, gave a brief shrug, and then faintly nodded. Good, Rechi said crisply. Mrs. Spheres looked at her husband.
You see, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere.
Mr. Spheres clenched his bony fists.
But you can't go anywhere, do you hear? You can't leave me. All right,
she was almost shouting.
Zundel will be here soon, said Mr. Spheres. We have to finish with her.
He gave a long sideways glance at Rechi.
Okay, okay, Mrs. Spheres said. So Zundel is coming, so what?
Her narrowed nose almost met her jutting chin.
He has to give me a shave and a haircut. It's Thursday. I know it's Thursday. You don't need to remind me.
While they thrashed it out about Zundel, whoever he was, Rechi ticked off items on her chart. Oriented to time and day. Check. Gate. She made an X. And noted. Slow, wide, and unsteady. Posture. Another X. Selma was also mildly hunchbacked. And Rechi was concerned she wasn't getting enough oxygen. Before she reviewed their medications, Rechi got up and took a peek into the refrigerator. It contained orange juice, 1 gallon of milk, and 2-liter bottle of Coke. She found 4 peeled eggs in a bowl and neatly arranged meals in Tupperware containers, waiting to be warmed up. One of them, Rechi noticed, had shredded cheese sprinkled over a meatloaf.
Oh,
she almost said out loud. Obviously not kosher. She was out of her comfort zone, though she had been warned. It had taken DJ, short for Donisha Jantel, about one day of working with Rechi to realize what Rechi needed to hear.
It's a real big world out there, full of things you've never seen before.
DJ's green eyes flashed against her cocoa skin. She scared all the new trainees, but usually because she spoke the truth. With a shake and an inward girding, Rechi composed her face to bland neutrality. Yiddish speaking, not kosher. Well, okay. Judgments had no place in the nursing profession, she could hear DJ say. On her chart, next to nutrition and hydration status, she made a check. Across from the fridge, the sink was empty of soiled dishes, something Rechi could not say was true in her own kitchen. A blue dish rack held a 9-inch Teflon pan with a sponge on the side. She put a final check next to environmental factors. She walked back to the dining room. On the way, her eyes surveying the living room with its orange-colored sofa across from a console that housed a mahogany Magnavox record player. How 70s. Old wedding portraits framed the wall behind the couch. Despite the creamy skin of the girl in the pictures, Mrs. Spheres was easily recognizable with that narrow nose and jutting chin. Who helps you with the cooking and shopping? Rechi asked.
We have a neighbor, Mr. Spheres answered. Joe. He helps us a little, but we manage. Can't you see?
Mr. Spheres pointed a shaky finger toward the kitchen.
We have everything we need. You're not going to take away my Selma, are you?
No, God forbid, Rechi consoled him. How she felt for the old man. Anyone who got in the way between him and his Selma had to be seen as the enemy. It took about 45 minutes for Rechi to complete her assessment. Mrs. Spheres asked,
So I'm not going to the hospital?
Rechi smiled at Mrs. Spheres and shook her head from side to side. She sat back down and took the old woman's long yellow fingers in her hand, looked into her eyes, and said, Mrs. Spheres, you're fine. You're going to get help with shopping, cooking, and housekeeping. And I'll also recommend a physical therapist and a social worker.
I don't know nothing about a social worker, Mrs. Spheres said, her brow contorting into a further net of wrinkles.
Rechi sighed. She put her hand gently on Mrs. Spheres' shoulder and said, Don't worry. I'm going to take care of everything for you, just the way you want it. No hospital, okay? Don't worry. Tell your husband to relax. There, she told herself as she let herself out the front door. She'd done it. She'd visited her first patient, and both of them had survived. The other appointments went smoothly. A daily insulin administration, another start of care for physical therapy, and a 66-year-old woman with a vascular ulcer in need of wound care. Later, at the supper table, over chicken and rice cooked in the crockpot, she regaled the whole family with her escapades, describing the drama in the way her patient's husband was afraid his wife would leave him. But all in all, she felt a sense of accomplishment. To think that she was making a difference in these people's lives. It was an opportunity for chesed 24/7. The fact that she was getting paid didn't make it any less of a chesed, did it? 2 a.m., Rechi awakened suddenly to a ringing phone. Not so unusual. Shimon, after all, was a Hatzalah member. But when Shimon picked up the phone, instead of jumping out of bed, he listened for a moment, held the phone away from his head as if it hurt his ear to listen, and then pressed it closer, a startled expression playing over his mild brown eyes and forehead. He squinted at the clock on the night table.
Does taking phone calls in the dead of night come with this job?
Shimon whispered to Rechi as he handed her the receiver.
What?
She exclaimed. Was there some emergency? Her heart was pounding. Hello? Who is this? Is everything okay? The cranky, querulous voice of Mr. Spheres crackled through the line, but amped up 10 times higher than usual, so it was hard to understand what he said.
You promised! Nurse, you promised! And now my Selma's gone!
Gone? Rachi stared at the phone, frightened. She was dead? Mr. Spheres, tell me where you are! Where are you? She heard herself shouting into the phone.
We're both at Coney Island Hospital, in the emergency room.
Her racing heart slowed a beat or two. So Mrs. Spheres was alive, but there must have been some terrible accident. Her mind chased all the nasty possibilities. A heart attack, an embolism, a fractured hip? Ay, ay. Please, tell me what happened.
I was waiting for the help you told me about, and the lady didn't come yet. And Selma needed help unlacing her shoes.
Her shoes? She repeated.
Yeah, her shoes. She couldn't do it by herself. So I called 911.
Rachi clasped her head. Relief filled her every pore, and she wanted to giggle and cry at the same time. Shoes. No terrible accident. Then she groaned. 911. She knew what that meant. An ambulance. EMTs, who must have decided this wasn't a safe situation. Two ancient people who couldn't take care of themselves and carted them away. A bureaucratic nightmare. No, she groaned to herself.
You promised you wouldn't let them take my Selma, but they did. They took her anyway.
Mr. Sphere's voice trembled on the edge of tears. How could she salvage the situation? Rachi thought fast. Mr. Spheres, is somebody with you?
No, my son lives an hour away and Joe's not here. It's just me and Selma at the hospital. That's why I thought about you. I called up information for your number, he added,
obviously pleased with his accomplishment. What about Zundel? She threw out desperately.
Zundel? It's too hard for him to go out at night.
All right, sit tight. Let me see what I can do. Rachi hung up the phone and peeked out the window. Outside, it was pitch dark. What's the story? Shimon asked. I can't believe it. Rachi sat up, dazed but fully awake. She flicked on a small lamp. My patient's husband just called me from the ER. His wife was taken in because she couldn't unlace her shoes. Shimon knew better than to laugh. You're serious? I wish I was joking. Oh, Shimon, they're all alone, two people 100 years old. And I promised them that the wife's care wouldn't entail hospitalization. She had a sick feeling about it all. They repeatedly asked me that and I promised. Rachi punched down her pillow and lay back down, but it didn't feel right. She took the stiff bolster pillow and pushed it behind her back. One pillow too soft, one too hard, she threw both on the floor. She took a deep breath and tried to calm her thoughts. What would the bubby do? She knew the answer to that one. Chesed. The word must have also popped into Shimon's head. Rachi, you want me to drive you to the hospital? Rachi nodded gratefully. He knew her so well. How she wanted to do the right thing. They got dressed and wrote a note, which they taped to the door of their eldest daughter, Yochabed. 10 minutes later, on the way to the hospital, Rachi tried adjusting the passenger seat. She shoved the lumbar adjuster forward, but it wouldn't budge. The lever was useless. She resisted the impulse to smack it with her foot. You know, she said to Shimon, sitting up straight in the seat, exactly the position she hated, the EMT and paramedics could have extended themselves a little. They could have called the next of kin. They didn't have to take them away like that. She closed her eyes, imagining the heartrending scene at the Spheres' home and the old man's shrill, sad protests. Painful thoughts. And I guess Zundel couldn't go either, Shimon said, as their minivan hummed along. Nah, he's... She stopped. Wait. She glanced over at Shimon, who was twisting his brown pious behind his ears with his free hand. How in the world do you know Zundel?
Zundel?
He lifted a shoulder. Everybody knows Zundel. He smiled at Rechi, whose brow had shot up to alarming heights. I just overheard, is all. Every couple that old needs a Zundel. Anyway, I would have gone, Shimon said, and she knew he had on numerous occasions. Hatzala was Hamish that way. Like the time Shimon was called out for a child who fractured her foot while she was playing jump rope one Erev Shabbos. He waited in the emergency room with the father till the cast was placed. Thanks to him, the family made it home in time for Shabbos. In the ER, Rechi introduced herself as the couple's visiting nurse. The nurse manager on shift stared at her in her thrown-together outfit and plain pale yellow tichel. She shifted her dubious gaze to Shimon in his long ruckle, auburn beard flowing midway to his chest. The manager blinked. Excuse me, what agency did you say you work for? Warm Hands Kind Hearts Home Care, Rechi said. She explained the situation and was grateful to learn Mrs. Spheres hadn't been admitted yet. She walked over to the Spheres, who sat in the ER holding area. Mr. and Mrs. Spheres looked up joyfully at Rechi.
You came! You came!
Mr. Spheres said, clasping his bony hands in the air like a prize fighter.
I told you she would,
Selma said. Immediately, his wizened face turned dark and reproachful.
You promised they wouldn't take her away, and now look what happened,
he said in an accusing voice. It was on the tip of Rechi's tongue to say, don't worry, it'll be okay. Then she stopped herself. How could she know what would be? No more promises. Injecting her voice with empathy, she said, I'm sorry, really I am. Then she clapped her hands briskly. Should we get going now?
Going?
Mr. Spheres looked up at her. Then he clapped his forehead. He told Rechi that their son was coming to pick them up, and they'd be going home with him. Rechi and Shimon looked at each other. Shimon's eyes were bleary from lack of sleep. I'll check on you tomorrow, Rechi said as she left.
No rush, dearie,
the ancient couple called after her.
Our son wants us to move to a nursing home near his place, so we won't be using your agency after all.
Shimon coughed, the way Rechi knew he did, when he felt a snort coming. He covered his mouth with his hand. Rechi knew he was smiling. An hour later, Rechi settled into bed for a scant hour of sleep before the alarm was set to ring. All in a day's work, she mused as her eyes closed. All's well that ends well. She was a natural. Her frum life of chesed made this work a perfect fit. It felt so good to have seen this through. And that the Sphere's son was coming through after all. Even though, Rechi had a thought, who would come through for him if he needed it? Their son could very well be in his 80s. She'd ask DJ tomorrow. Plus, DJ might well give her a pat on the back for the extra diligence and care. And with those contented thoughts, she fell asleep.